There has been a regime change in the city of Flint, Michigan, over lead-contaminated water. One mayor was forced out in the crisis. The current just-elected mayor has declared a state of emergency.
We need federal assistance. We need state and federal funds to help us fix this problem. We have problems with our infrastructure. We have children that have been damaged by this lead. They have permanent brain damage. So we know that Flint is not in a position to bear this burden alone, and we are asking and looking for state and federal assistance. And the only way we were going to have this happen was to declare a state of emergency.
Officials estimate that between 15,000 and 40,000 homes have elevated lead levels, and parents who have tested their children have learned some pretty alarming things. This mother of twin boys can do nothing but pay for alternative clean bottled water. She can't erase the lead her children have in their bodies already.
The state nurse told me, oh, you know, I understand your son has lead poisoning, but it's not as bad as it could be. He's just going to lose a few IQ points. No, that's my child. How would you feel if someone told you that about your child? How is that fair to him?
That's an excerpt from a three-part documentary, Not Safe to Drink, produced by Lindsay Smith, a reporter for Michigan Radio. It tells the story about how local officials have continued to deny the problem despite the evidence. Lindsay, welcome. And I guess it's fair to say the denial stage is over in this crisis?
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. Yeah, people are certainly at the state and city level more openly admitting what has happened in Flint. However, because there is some pending lawsuits, it's not like there's a delicate dance there with the admission, I'll say.
But people are taking efforts to deal with the water. What can consumers do, and what is the government allowing or offering for consumers to do to deal with the water in their own homes?
What happened, the biggest change that happened was Flint switched back to Detroit's water system. Detroit, they had bought water from Detroit for decades and decades. But costs and a couple other factors led them to switch water sources and start drawing water from the Flint River, which meant that they had to sort of learn how to treat their own water. Detroit's water came sort of ready to go to their pipelines. They did not treat that water properly, and that's caused a lot of these problems. It's what's caused the lead and iron to corrode out of the distribution system, and in some cases from lead service lines and lead plumbing in older homes, especially in Flint, into the tap water. So they have switched back to Detroit's water. That happened in October. But it's going to take some time. It's not like the change just automatically overnight makes the water safe to drink. There's been some damage to the distribution system because of the corrosive Flint water that they used for, you know, a year and a half. So it's going to be some time, I think, before you're going to get an okay to drink the tap water without any kind of certified lead filters. So that's another thing that people can do to protect themselves. And the state has donated some of these water filters. There's been a lot of foundations and kind of community groups that have donated these lead filters for people. The other option is to buy a bunch of bottled water, which people have been doing in bulk.
What's the public health issue here? I mean, lead levels are high or elevated in children. What's the expectation of what that's going to mean down the line?
This is a problem that shows up later in life. One of the doctors that's been really involved in this issue, in exposing this issue, said to me she likes to trick her doctors that she works with to say, you know, what symptoms will a kid with lead poisoning have or elevated blood levels have? And the thing is you don't see the symptoms right away. That's why we test kids typically at age one. And the reason for that is because they're starting to put things like lead paint chips in their mouths. Usually that's the way kids get exposed to lead, not in water. We don't see that as often as we see the exposure from paint and lead dust and lead in the soil. So later on the line, there's potential for behavioral problems. Kids with elevated blood levels have a higher risk of developing problems like ADHD, having problems in school, kind of getting swept up in the criminal justice system. There's a lot of studies that have gone into this. It's part of the reason why we took lead out of gas, gasoline, back a few decades ago.
The current mayor is in office because of this crisis. How is she being tested, and is she delivering on those promises of the election?
Well, she's been in office for 3-4 weeks now. So she certainly started out running by declaring this week a state of disaster or a sort of emergency to try to, it's a way to try to go about getting federal funds. If you can try to ask the state or the federal government to declare your city, a disaster zone in this way, she hopes to be able to get more money to help these kids. Later on the line, you know, the school districts are probably going to have to invest in more things like wraparound services, special education. There's also the longstanding issue of these lead service lines that are in place. It's going to take a lot of money to be able to dig those lead service lines out of the ground and replace them. So I think she hopes that making this declaration will help funnel some money Flint's way, and Flint desperately needs that money.
Lindsay Smith is a reporter for Michigan Radio. You can find a link to her documentary, Not Safe to Drink, at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.